Hey guys, welcome to Sunday Nights at Refuge, a community-focused Bible study that gathers weekly in our Common Ground Cafe. So grab a cup of coffee or tea and your Bible. By the way, you can connect with us on Instagram at Refuge Family. Now, our prayer is that Jesus would use this message to draw you closer to Him. So if you're ready, let's join tonight's study.
How are you guys doing? Good. Good. I'm glad to be with you guys tonight. Are you guys excited for tonight? Have you been enjoying going through the book of Acts? Woo, it's been awesome. Of course, the book of Acts, as we have all of the Gospels, and they talk about the Gospel, the good news, right, of Jesus and the happenings and the work of Jesus, we get into the book of Acts, and the book of Acts is about the happening and the work of the Holy Spirit through the people. And so as we get into that tonight, let's go ahead and pray. Father, we come to you. I thank you, Lord, just for everything that that you do for us, really who you are, Lord. I pray that as we do open up your word tonight, as we get into it, as we start to read, that our minds and our hearts are opened to what you would have us hear tonight, Lord. And as we talk about it, and as we should always be talking about, Lord, may we be spiritually aware of the things that are going on, Father God, and not fall into the trap that so many have fallen into and just looking at the natural things of this world. In your name, amen. All right, so you guys are going to want to turn to Acts chapter 3. We're going to be going through Acts 3, verses 11 through 26. And as I go through it tonight, I'm going to actually start off tonight. I'm going to read through all 15 verses, and then I'm going to break those down at the very beginning. And then we're going to dive back into it, and we're going to kind of focus on verse 12 tonight. And I'll explain to you why we're going to focus on verse 12 after we read through the whole thing. Now, I've titled tonight's little message, Into the Noun. Everybody knows what a noun is. If you've taken any kind of English class, what's a noun? It's say it with me. It's a person, it's a place, or it is a thing. So tonight, I've titled this message, Into the Noun, because we are going to be looking at the Israelites and the people of God, and as they look at Peter in this passage here, they are looking at him as a person, and he rejects that right away, and he goes into a really good argument, and he calls them to a position and gives them a command. So let's go ahead and let's start reading Acts chapter 3, verses 11 through 26. And let me go ahead and flip there right here. Now, brief context. As you guys know, we've had the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit has been poured out. Many people heard the word of the Lord being spoken to in their own language. And then there was a sermon that Peter gave, and he continued to give that. And then God added to the numbers of the church. And then if you were here last week and you were going through the first part of Acts chapter 3, you know that they go and they heal this paralyzed man. And so Peter is here. He's healing this. Peter and John are here. They're going to be healing a paralyzed man. And we're picking up right here in verse 11 where they had just healed a paralyzed man. And it says this. Now, as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why do you look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we have made this man walk?" Now, we're going to go back to that verse later on, and we're going to focus on that because what's going on here is that he's kind of setting up for an argument, right? He's putting a question out there to them, and now he's getting ready to kind of give it all to them, okay? So we're going to go back to verse 12 in just a little bit, but he sets it up. He says, "Why are you guys looking at us, and why are you marveling at us? Because we have done this incredible thing for this man." So we'll go back to that. Now he sets up this little argument that he's going to kind of give him a left hook at the end of this. He says here, The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he's explaining to them. This is where the power comes from. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate, and he was determined to let him go. Now, he's setting up the argument. The God, the same God that you guys talk about, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, that God glorified Jesus, and you guys denied him, and this was the one that Pilate was ready to let him go, but you guys said no. But you denied the Holy One and the just, and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and killed the Prince of Life, who God raised from the dead, which we are witnesses. So he's really laying it out to the Israelites, the Pharisees, the ones that are coming up to him and marveling, look at what you just did. And he said, whoa, wait a minute. Why are you looking at us because of our own godliness? Let me tell you what's going on. It's the God that you guys claim to worship, the God that you guys claim to be spiritual, the God that you look at and say, hey, this is who we follow, this is who we worship, this is who we go after. He was the one who glorified Jesus that you guys rejected. He's kind of leading into a sermon or kind of an opportunity to like realize the truth, okay? Now, and his name, verse 16, and his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which has come through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance. I know that you guys didn't know what you were doing. I know that you rejected Jesus, and I totally get it. You did it in ignorance, as did so the rulers. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ would suffer and thus be fulfilled. And here it goes. So he's given them the argument. Why are you marveling at us? This is where the power comes from. It is not of us. It is not our godliness. Here's the argument. This is who it comes from. And the big word, verse 19, if your Bible says it, he says this, repent, right? He's going to throw it at him. He says, okay, here's the argument. So I'm going to tell you, repent, which basically just means turn from all the evil things that you guys are doing. Therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things which God has spoken by in the mouth of his holy prophets, since the world began. Then he goes on to back up his argument just a little bit more in verses 22. For Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise you up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things whatever he says to you. And it shall be that every soul who will not hear the prophet shall utterly be destroyed from among the people. Yes, and all the prophets from Samuel and those who follow, as many have spoken, have also foretold these days. You are sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God has made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your seed all families of the earth shall be blessed. To you, first God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from your iniquities. So, 15 verses, ran through it really quick, but in short, this is basically what it's saying, or this is what happened. They performed a miracle. These men ran to them. They admired them for the actions. They looked at the men and thinking, how did you make this actually happen? They pushed them away from that. Peter pushed them away from that. He said, no. Why do you look at me like that? It's not about me, okay? This God, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, that God that you guys choose to worship, the power flows from him. Now that God, he was the one who glorified Jesus. Jesus was the one that you guys rejected. And he was the, some versions would say that he was the author of life or the prince of life. He is the very essence of life himself, and you guys rejected him. He is the one in which the power flows through, not from us. It's not us. It's not our own power, right? And he says, that is the one that you guys rejected. Therefore, you must repent of the things that you have done. And when you repent, step into the full glory of who God is. And when you step into the full glory of who God is, it's awesome. It's going to be wonderful. And remember that all of the prophets from the time of Moses to Samuel and all of your forefathers, all of them spoke of who Jesus is. Therefore, turn from all of your ways and God will blot out your sins and cleanse you of all your iniquities. This is basically a short sermon of what Peter was saying. Now, the question that I kind of want to go into tonight, when I say I want to focus on verse 12, after we see that little sermon, that little argument that he gave, and that command to repent and turn away from the things that they were doing, I want to go into 12, which, why I called this into the noun, is because these men were doing something that is just common of human nature that we can never forget. This is the common spiritual battle that we all have. They keep looking. They were looking at other men. They were looking at Peter and John as opposed to thinking like, oh my goodness, this man was healed, a man that we knew to be lame, a man that sat out that we knew that he was crippled. They kept looking at men, right? And that was the problem with the people of the time, with the Pharisees of the time, with the Israelites of the time, is that they kept looking at people, at places, and things or objects, right? Or things like their own traditions. They kept looking at those things, right? But they have to see beyond that. And so I want to go into that and talk about that. So why do we look at things? Why do we need to look at things? Anybody an artist out there, abstract artist? Anybody? Anybody like art? Okay. Anybody creative? Raise your hand if you're creative. Okay. Here's the thing. Everybody raise your hand. Okay. Every single one of you were, you are created by God. God, by his nature, is creative, right? We are all creative. Now, we may not know that because if we compare ourselves to hyper creative types that are out there, then we're like, we're not creative because those people over there are way more creative than me. Here's proof that you're created. Did you wake up this morning and did you look at yourself in the mirror? Yeah. Did you assess your outfit? Right? Okay. Did you try to match the clothes that you were wearing? Blue and yellow and green and whatever, right? Okay. That's a form of art. You may not think of it that way, but what you're doing as you're looking at yourself in the mirror, applying makeup, having your hair cut, doing whatever, maybe you don't care what you look like in the morning, but when you walk out to your car and your car is super awesome, right? That's a visual, right? That's a visual that communicates something to you. And that's all that art is. That's all that art is. Art is visual things, right? It's just things, material, visual material things that communicates something, right? It communicates something. Those are natural objects, right? So every single one of us, we are designed in a way that when we look at material things, right? When we look at those things communicate something to us. There's a communication that comes through. It's almost like a language, right? Like we know this. This is the Bible. And this is, we would say, it is the Word of God. But I would be mistaken to believe that it is the cardboard, the paper, and the ink that is the Word of God, correct? Do we understand that? Right. It is what it communicates to us, right? And that's what symbols and objects and flags and all of those things do. We have to have those things. We're designed to be attracted to or to understand life through symbols and objects and different things. That's how we understand it. And when we do that, that's basically what a noun is. It's a person, it's a place, or it's a thing. Well, here's the problem. Too often, we can see a miraculous thing happen, right? Or we can see something incredible happen, like maybe a preacher goes out and a preacher will take somebody like a Billy Graham or like a Greg Laurie, who are incredible men of God in some ways, right? Or in many ways, not just some ways, in many, many, many ways. And we will look at them and we will say, how awesome are they? How awesome is that individual? And then we will start looking at that individual as opposed to seeing past the person who symbolizes the working of God's Spirit through them, right, to do the miraculous or the wonderful things of God. Because I do children's ministry, just to reinforce this point a little bit more, just in case some of you guys are confused, and visual illustrations are great because I just talked about how we are all visual creatures, right? It's like this. I have a cup, a bottle of water, source. Everybody say source. Source, right? Source, right? Empty cup, okay? Transfer, conduit, whatever you want to call it, okay? God is the source of all things that is good, okay? This is what people need. This was the man, this little cup right here, this was the man who is in need of healing. God was the source, the author of life. Jesus was the author of life, the prince of life, the giver of life, the one who could actually make this happen. It was by his power that this man was healed. Peter and John were just this thing right here. Well, there we go. See if I can do it without it spilling. There we go. Okay, get that concept? Now here's the foolishness. God's the source of life, right? That was the man who was healed. This was the thing that everybody was looking at. And they're saying, wow, look at that conduit. Look at all the water that came out of that thing, right? And we do that all of the time. Okay. God is the source of all goodness, but we have this problem, right? We have the inability. We have the inability to see spiritually, because we see things physically, right? We see this and we see that happen, but we know that we can't see God. We can't see the source, yet we know that it is there. Oh, thanks. Sorry. It's all right. Water is good. Water is the source of all life, just like Jesus. Yeah, there we go. All right. I think we're good. Thanks. Make sense? Okay, God is the source of all life, and we can't see those things, yet we know they exist. We know that love is there. We know that peace is there. We know that joy exists. We experience that when we interact with other people. Okay, we know that it's there, but we have the inability to see it. And that is what Peter is calling out. He's saying, why do you guys keep looking at us? Their problem with looking at Peter and John was the same problem why they did not see Jesus for who he was, which he calls out. They keep looking at Peter and John as ones that did something incredible, and they said, it's not our godliness, right? This is done in the power, in the name of Jesus Christ. And so he's really pushing them on that. And he's telling them, you people, remember, they were like spiritual elite of the time, right? They were the ones that were connected with God. You people who claim to be spiritual, can't see the picture. And that's what we have to be really, really careful with, especially if we claim the name of Jesus Christ, right? If we claim to walk by the Spirit, if we claim to walk as children of the light, children of God's light, remembering that there's a lot of historical information in the Bible, but the Bible is a spiritual book, and we are a spiritual people connected to God, and we need to see. We need to see, as Romans say, we need to put on Jesus Christ. We need to see things through the light of God's eyes, with spiritual eyes. It's very hard to do that if we keep looking at natural things. And that's what's true for us today. We keep looking at people, places, and things. It's because we were made to understand the world through natural things and physical objects. Physical things like affections, things that we, when I say affections, I mean just objects. Anybody have trinkets at home, special necklaces, jewelry, something that's just so precious to you? If you have, we'll take something like if you have a photo of a loved one, right? You have a photo of a loved one, and that photo means so much to you. And you look at that photo and you cherish that loved one. It's about being able to separate out the difference between the photo itself and the actual memories of the loved one. It's that idea of being able to start seeing things spiritually like that. We have to get into doing those types of things. We need to start practicing those things in our own lives. We need to start taking the material objects that we put so much value in and saying, that car is going to give me so much joy. That car is going to give me so much peace in what I need. That relationship, that individual over there, they're going to fulfill and satisfy all of my worldly, or all of my needs, not worldly needs. They're going to fulfill all of my needs. And they're like, no, actually they're not. They're just a person, right? And anything that's absent of the very essence of life, which is God, anything that's absent will not fill that which you need. Now, James chapter 1, verse 17 says this. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. It says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. The Father of lights, all that is good, wisdom and joy is the context that it's talking about. But everything that is good comes from God himself. We are just that conduit in which those things flow through. All good and perfect gifts is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11 says this, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards. A steward is somebody just saying, it's a steward. I'm the one that's holding either an object, a power, an ability for the time being. I am stewarding that as it is the goodness of God that's transferring through me into another individual or into another position of life. As stewards of God's grace in its very various forms. If anybody speaks, they should do so as if they speak the very words of God. Not eloquency of speech, right? If I say anything good, it's not, not that I'm the best speaker or a great speaker at all. It's if I speak and you hear something profound, you know what you shouldn't say? I went to church on Sunday night and Jonathan Trask, he said something awesome. Actually, no, like don't say that because it may not even be true at all. But if you hear something, anything good, say, wow, I went to church on Sunday night. And a truth of God's word was revealed to me, a truth from God. Don't look at the man. Don't care about that because it's not the individual doesn't conceptualize this truth and deliver it to you, right? It's that you look back and you say, wow, it is the word of God was displayed to me, was taught to me in a way that I could comprehend and I can understand it, right? It's not the individuals that we look at. If anybody speaks, they speak as if they speak the very words of God. If anybody serves, they should do so with the strength that God provides. Now, many of us, we have different skill sets. We learn different skill sets throughout life. We have skills, or construction workers, or maybe you're knowledgeable in different types of fields, education, or maybe you have some kind of, a skill that serves a community, and you've gone to school, and you have done some work, and you've started to understand, like, okay, and you start to build what's really important for us now. Right? If you have like a LinkedIn account or like a resume, or if you're ever going to go, what are you trying to do? You're trying to sell yourself, right? And that's just what we do in our world. It's something that we have to do in our world. But as we go to sell ourselves to the jobs or the places or the people that we come in contact with, and we say, I am so good at this thing, we need to remember that whatever it is that we have, understand that, man, God is the author of life, period, right? He's the author of life. There's nothing that you do that you have all of a sudden, like, that you've popped out of nowhere, out of existence, right? You've showed up and you say, look at all the things I've made of myself. Guaranteed. The air that we breathe, the place that we live in, the fact that we're in a warehouse in Huntington Beach right now, in an air-conditioned room in the midst of a pandemic, right? And we're able to worship God together. It's not a doing of the church, right? It's you're here, you drove in your vehicle or your car, whatever it is that has placed you in the position, in the seat that where you're at, where you're listening, you just need to give all thanks and glory to God. If you got to eat a meal last night or tonight and it was a good meal and there was money for that and you were provided a job because you did something or maybe somebody bought you dinner or whatever, give glory and thanks to God. The point is this, is everything, if you serve, whatever it is that you have, it comes from the Lord. He's the author of life. He wrote the book of life. Anything that we enjoy is because he wrote it that way. So that in all things, God may be praised through Jesus Christ, which we know in Acts chapter 3 is the author of life. To him be the glory, the power, forever and ever. Amen. Okay. So tonight, as we look at this and we think about the concept of the idea of what does it mean to look at things with spiritual eyes, to not be like the Israelites in this picture here. And why do I want to focus on verse 12 so much here? It's because for many of us, verses 13 through 26, as we look at that and we look at the history and we see that it says, hey, it's the same God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the same God from Solomon to Moses, all of the prophets, right? All of them. We understand that the history of the Old Testament was talking about the coming of the future Messiah. Now, if you're in this room, and maybe somebody in this room hasn't accepted the Lord, and we want to talk with you later if you want to know more about Jesus, but if you've been coming to church for a little while, then you know, like, okay, I have chosen to follow Jesus. So if I was to strip away all of what does it really mean? How do I begin those steps of following Jesus? It doesn't just look like just coming to church. Okay, it doesn't just look like just studying your Bible. There's an active, like, I'm going to start viewing the world spiritually because that is what Jesus taught. I'm going to start looking at everything spiritually. And when I say everything, I mean like literally everything. We can all agree that the bar that Jesus was set, he said, hey, sell all you have, right? Give it to the poor and come and follow me. Pretty high bar. Has anybody done that yet? No, right? But what is he saying? Let go of material things, at least your value on material things. Okay, now don't be confused by that statement thinking like, in order to be perfect, I just have to get rid of everything and walk into the desert like John the Baptist, right? No. Okay. He also said, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. These are questions, these are statements that Jesus is saying, and he's saying, you have to view things at a much deeper level than what you've viewed things before. All of us have things that we're holding on to. We have natural things that we desire. There's something I know inside of my heart and inside of my head. There's multiple things that I know that if I was just to receive, if I was just to look a certain way, if I was just to do a certain thing, then I would find it, I would have it, I would finally have peace in life in a certain area if I just achieved a certain thing. And Jesus says, no, that's not it. That's the same trap of the Pharisees. That's the same trap. It's the same type of thinking that's going on in there, is that you are placing spiritual value on people, places, and things, and we need to be careful not to do that because the apostles here, they rebuke that. They say, no, look at us, right? Don't look at the power. You want to know the real power of God? You want to know the real power of following Jesus? Then it's this. It's learning, as Paul would say, I've learned to be content in all situations. I've learned the secret of life, whether I have riches or whether I don't have anything. And that secret is very simple. I've learned to walk by the Spirit. I've learned to walk spiritually. I've learned to let go of the material things of this world that I so deeply want or that I desire. I'm choosing to let go of my title, of my position in something. I'm choosing to let go of my frustrations. I'm choosing to let go of the grievances that I have towards others, understanding that I am not perfect myself. And I'm choosing to let go of all of that and choosing to focus solely on who God is, spend time with Him. He is the author of life. Spend time in His light. Spend time in His love. Spend time resting completely in Him. And in that place that you really, really become that proper conduit, right? For His Spirit to work through you, to flow into other people. Amen? Amen. Cool. I got a couple questions for you, Isaac, and I'm not sure exactly how we do this part, if I throw them up or if I lead them during this time. I pray. Will you pray with me? Yeah. Okay. Let's go ahead and pray. Father God, I thank You. I thank You just for everybody in this room. Lord, as we looked at this passage tonight and as we just dove into it and we saw that there was such a message, Lord, of who You were, Father God, that Your word proclaimed that You were the same God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to the Israelites here. Father God, You were that God, Lord, that You glorified Jesus. And as He was rejected, Father God, because those people did not have spiritual eyes to see what was going on, Father God. I pray that as we struggle with that continually, constantly in our day-to-day, not really being good at being able to see past the material things of this world, the people that we admire, the places that we think You exist in, the objects or the things that we think we must have, Lord, may we not fall into that same trap. And may we, and God, I just pray so deeply, may we never, never associate Your Spirit with being attached to any one individual or any one place or any one object or material thing. And I just pray, Father, for anything that's happened like that, Father, just for repentance in our own minds and our hearts, Lord, that we will reject any of that, Father God. And may we just continue forward, Lord, with always looking to You, the author and the perfecter of our faith, the true author of life, the one in which all essence and all goodness flows through, that it is Your love that flows through us, it is Your goodness that flows through us, that we aren't, Father God, loving of our own nature, that we aren't good of our own being, Father God. And even when we are filled with laughter and joy, may it be a joy that flows directly from You, Lord, knowing that we have learned to be content, Father God, and knowing that You are the only thing that we need in life, Father. In Your name, amen.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.
Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more. Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life begins. Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more.
No more.
Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day.